just the hand claps.
Singing was good.
I like the singing.
This is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Acra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
El Movimiento Santuario del Condado de Columbia es una organización basada en el Condado de Columbia que organiza junto a inmigrantes y aliados para apoyar, empoderar y defender colectivamente a nuestras comunidades. CCSM ofrece programas que ayudan a personas recién llegadas, incluyendo programas de alimentos, fondos de ayuda mutua, servicios de apoyo legal y oportunidades para ser un organizador y activista. Puedes encontrar más información en las redes sociales a CCSMNY o llamando al 518-303-3848.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Joanne Williams of Inwood, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
WGXC welcomes audio responses and feedback from listeners. Anyone can call and leave a message and we'll play it on the air. Call 518-622-2598 and leave up to a 3-minute message for airplay.
That's cool. I'm transmitting. Did not know I was transmitting this entire time. And now I've been picked up. Little weird tonight, folks. We are back in the COVID studio because everybody scattered last minute. I'm just going to blame it on a little too much partying last night. So, I happened to dig up our first Halloween episode. That's right, in 6 years, this is the first rerun. I hope you enjoy. Hello and welcome to the Thingularity Radio Program, broadcasting live from the Division of Curses and Confections at the Catskill Makers Syndicate located on 65 West Bridge Street. We are here to answer any science or technology-related questions you may have, and we're here to scare you tonight because it is the special Thingularity Forgotten Geek Best Day of the Year Halloween Extravaganza. And not only are we answering questions from people out there in the audience, we got a couple of stories here that are designed to scare you a little bit, and we will be asking for your donations for WGXC this evening because we are still winding out the pledge drive this evening. Okay. All right, just want to say happy Halloween to everybody out there that's listening. We've had a lot of goblins running up and down the street. It's been great. All right.
Who's with us tonight? Oh, it's me. Cody, hi.
Okay, I guess we're going to do our introductions. Yep. Cody, start yourself.
Okay, and this is Corey.
My name is Lexus. I am local activist and local witch.
This is Jill. I'm comms officer today.
This is Mr. Conductor, as always. And to my left, we have...
Gonorrhea the Halloween Witch!
That would be our wonderful sound technician helping us out tonight.
What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you guys?
Okay, so everybody that's got us cranked up for your Halloween parties, here we go. Well, let's see. It's the WGXC Fun Drive time again, and we just want to get some information out there to everybody. If anybody is interested in donating, you can do so by phone at 518-697-7400. You can do it online at wgxc.org/donate. And if you are so inclined, you can also mail it in to WGXC care of Wave Farm, P.O. Box 13, Acre, New York, 12405. WGXC is a program division of Wave Farm. Donations are tax deductible to the full extent of the law. So keep that in mind and dig deep, everybody. We need the help.
We
are pretty close to our goal of, 50 new sustaining supporters? I think we need, like...
Eight more or less, I read.
Yeah, like, you can count on two hands, I think, how many we need.
That's pretty special. You want to be one of those eight people that gets us over that top and going and continuing on to the next fun drive?
Let's do it!
Save your money for your crystals and spend it on WGXC.
What are you even talking about?
Well, don't worry. Local voices are pretty important.
Yes.
I only gave up heroin for 2 weeks.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Then you could have bought, like, 20 sustain.
I did.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
There are lots of things that you can give up that's just better for everyone.
This is true.
I'm sure everybody out there has a vice. I mean, other people like to say simple things like, in exchange for the coffee that you buy every day, you could sustain the station for another year or so. But, you know, maybe, I don't know, don't spend money clubbing seals or something like that.
Which is very similar to the actual crystal business. I got an article here.
What?
It's called it's from The Guardian. It's called Dark Crystals: The Brutal Reality Behind a Booming Wellness Craze. Oh. And it goes into excruciating detail about how a lot of the crystals, like quartz and the like, are manufactured in Madagascar.
And how they're good for electronics, right? And timekeeping and stuff like that?
Sure, but they're actually just selling them in bulk.
But did they use them for the refractory attributes or anything like that? Or
no, it's not technology-based.
Wait. They're not used to cut something or to direct lasers or something like that? What's going on?
Well, there's some people still in the Middle Ages who seem to think that minerals in the ground can be used to heal yourself instead of going to a medical professional.
I'm going to say that could work because a lot of the healing aspect is, placebo effect.
Placebo?
Oh, no. I've been totally walking around.
They can make themselves sick forever, but if people are up, if somebody has something they're looking at and there's enough of a belief in it, they're not flooding their body with the wrong kind of
like
cortisol
and other stress.
Instead, they're filling with endorphins because they think it's right. I mean,
right.
That could happen, but you know.
I have a jade figurine firmly lodged in my belly button, and I have not gotten the plague yet.
Well, that's great and all, but real people suffer both for industry,
yes.
Like you mentioned, you know, piezoelectric actuators and whatnot, and timekeeping pieces. And this, for the sake of wellness.
Sorry, I just listened to a medical podcast on Goop, Gwyneth Paltrow's, lifestyles.
What is it called?
Goop.
Yeah. And it's funny, Mr. Conductor mentioned, jade, but, like, they have some sort of jade thing that you stick up somewhere far worse than a belly button.
Oh. Gosh.
What?
Basically, just to follow their advice and stick to the lifestyle recipe sections of that site. Don't take any actual.
You know what another interesting aspect of this is that
crystals are not meant to be taken internally.
or on your steering wheel.
Please, please do not glue crystals to your steering wheel so that you could drive through their energy aura. You're just building a claymore.
I don't think my hands would like holding on to a crystal for the hours on end it would take to drive to Buffalo or something.
Yeah.
Or your face if, God forbid, you get into an accident and your airbag explodes.
We're just referencing some memes and a couple things we've seen on the internet where we've seen people glue crystals to their steering wheel, covering their airbag.
You know, another interesting aspect about this is that quartz often occurs with gold, so I've read.
Yeah.
So maybe they're actually just selling you a waste product
of gold.
And there's lots of quartz around here, open and exposed, yet there are very few gold deposits.
Hmm.
And I know
that. How does that work?
It's just an effect of the geology around here. There's a lot more gold, say, over in Massachusetts. But there's still plenty of quartz over here.
I didn't know that.
Thing. Yeah.
Really? Massachusetts has gold no gold mines, though.
They have gold mines, but just not that much. They have more than us.
It's not commercial.
So low yield that it's not commercially viable?
Well, there's no commercial gold operations in New York State because nobody is allowed to collect gold from New York State soil at all. All gold found in New York State soil is the property of New York State. You are not allowed to collect it or claim it.
Oh, it's that whole thing where all property is it all reverts to the state.
It was all property is.
I'm assuming that was just done to prevent
it's
people
that
from
principle.
Starting up gold mines and poisoning all the water. What was the reasoning for that?
New York is greedy.
Legal reasonings.
Lawyer your state.
Yeah, the lawyer state.
Now, why do we have to go west when we could have just went east to Massachusetts instead?
Mm-hmm.
Well, low there's yield. Also like, yeah, that's the thing. There's a low yield of gold, so there isn't a whole lot of people with it in their backyard to raise the complaint that they want to have access
to. Hey, if you want to go panning in Massachusetts.
I have. It's fun. It's not productive, but it's fun.
Not as productive as going up to Canada, say?
It's not as
and panning there?
Well, you know what my gripe is? The first 27 feet of all the dirt in New York State came from Canada. So I could still blame them.
That's right.
Yeah, it's not wrong, you know. Ice age, all the glaciers coming down.
Yep, the same action that created the mountains that are sitting behind us.
Oh, man, this is a great segue.
Off the dirt.
Don't you know?
What?
Into what?
Ooh, what's new article?
Do you guys know anything about magnetic pole shifts?
Yes.
I told somebody that the poles, they reverse. And they thought I was insane. They were like,
really?
Okay, whatever.
Yeah, but that's...
No, they found a tree that went through almost an entire pole reversal that has evidence.
You see, it's very, very slow historically, right? But
over thousands of years.
Thousands of years.
Some days it moves quicker than others.
I've heard some really...
Scurrying. Well, it's always shifting and dancing. The North Pole is always... dancing around.
But right now it's moving a little faster, I think. Like, it's getting off course.
That's like a Browning motion. It's like a really like a drunkard's walk.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you guys want to look it up, on Newsweek, the article is called Ancient Tree with Record of Earth's Magnetic Field Reversal in Its Rings Discovered. And this tree found in New Zealand was unearthed. It lived almost its entire life through a... almost a complete magnetic field reversal. So south was north, and north was south. Everything was backwards.
So that means it was winter during Christmas in Australia at one point.
Is that what
happens every year?
No, that's not the case.
No, that's not the case.
The season?
No.
The poles that we think of, all the Arctic and stuff, that is the tilt of Earth's axis, which does not...
Yeah.
It's not the same as the magnetic poles. So if you follow a compass straight north, you're not going to end up to Santa Claus's workshop.
Yeah, the tilt.
You're going to be in Canada.
If you follow a magnetic compass.
Exactly.
Right.
And that magnetic compass is going to point you in a different spot every decade. And that's why a lot of things like Boy Scout compasses and stuff will come with a small adjustment so that you can make to actually find true north. And that adjustment changes by your geographic location any given day. So if you're in New York and you're in Mexico at the same day, your readings have to be adjusted separately.
Now, does this say the instability of a planet's magnetic field, does that contribute to other effects on the ecosystem at all?
Well, birds migrating, maybe? I don't know.
Hmm. Yeah, and
what
the
about
strength...
solar activity?
Yeah, the strength of the magnetic field is also what causes the auroras. So on some weather programs that might talk about auroras, it all depends on the magnetic fields.
The shifting magnetic, or at least the magnetic north, is it going to change... really, the magnetic storms, per se, it might change where they're located, but there's two things that come into play. It is literally the weakness or the crappiness of our own magnetic field, which is what's shifting around, and it is the plasma streams coming in from our sun. So
wind, right?
Correct. When they collide and the solar stream hits basically our magnetic field in the right direction, it causes...
particles to become charged in the upper atmosphere?
Yes, and that's your auroras. But more than that, you can see large magnetic lines snapping and disconnecting from each other, and that's when you get like large magnetic storms and extra like plasma shifting around in the atmosphere.
Those are the pixies dancing.
The pixies.
They're called sprites, and that would be the lightning that shoots upwards from clouds.
I know, but those pixies are guys who totally prevented the Apollo guys from getting to the moon. Haven't you heard?
I thought they were just a band.
Oh, no.
Okay, I saw
that. Oh, no.
Yeah, I do have to spell...
You guys have totally derailed us.
No, yeah, I was...
where's the horror?
You guys have totally derailed.
For people who want to know, I was referring to the Van Allen belts of radiation around the Earth, which people claim is a thing that proved that Apollo didn't go to the moon. No, we went to the moon.
It's our prison.
We went to the moon. It was on an inclined enough orbit to avoid the harshest bits of the Van Allen belts.
It's not like some prison that Galactus put on here to keep us from going exploring space like he did the Silver Surfer.
What?
Yeah, is that
now,
is,
you were okay, just you want all, horror? What is it? What
I
it,
want horror.
Does it do anything to the movement of the Earth's crust? Say, does it change the direction of a tectonic shift?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Oh, so suddenly volcanoes won't start exploding and...
That's absolutely correct. However, the one correlation that does exist there is the magnetic field that we see, which generally keeps pointing north, is one of the major pieces of evidence that we've originally found for tectonic shifting. When we would see, say, plates in Australia are generally aligned magnetically in one direction, we will see another plate aligned in a different direction. And you can literally trace it back in time to where everything was together and everything was pointed all north, like certain things like cooling magma. When lava cools, or I should say when it is still hot and liquid, its molecules all line up to the magnetic field of the Earth. When it cools and solidifies, those molecules all remain aligned in that position. So as that cooled magma then travels around the world in a different tectonic plate, its positioning changes. So you've got rocks pointing west in North America, and then you got rocks pointing south in Australia.
In Africa.
And if you slowly dial it all back over time and you watch it on a map, all the magnetic directional pointing lines back up eventually when you start getting back towards Pangaea and stuff.
Now,
like that.
Now is that just because, like a kid, you just took all the magnetic fields and jigsawed them back together again? And took out the intermediate seas?
Pretty much. Not to mention the fact that, first somebody looked at the continents and realized, hey, these kind of fit together. And then they wanted to test that a little more, so they started getting magnetic samples of stuff. And it's kind of like that tree that you mentioned with all the different magnetic changes through its lifetime.
Right. Which show up in its rings.
Same deal, except instead of rings, it was cooled metal.
Cool.
Whoa.
Okay, we're getting a little bit back. We got to pull it back a little bit and get back to reminding everybody that we're in the middle of a fun drive here at WGXC.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So if you want to come and get involved in our radio station, we are still looking for sustaining members.
Let's see. $5 a month is less than 17 cents a day. That's 16.666 cents a day.
Six.
Yes, you can help.
Two-thirds.
Us on the air, on the FM, nonetheless.
If those numbers are too evil for you, a full 17 cents a day might be better.
Yeah, for over 31 days, so sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for $5 a month. That's just, what, a trip to McDonald's you got to cut out?
Yeah, not even...
And if people want to be a sustaining member, how do they do that? What number do they call, or can they do it online?
Oh, if you want to become a sustaining member or make any form of donation, you can simply call 518-697-7400, or you can go online to wgxe.org/donate. And, of course, they still accept snail mail at WGXC, care of Wave Farm, P.O. Box 13, Acre, New York, 12405. And remember, that is all tax deductible.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, lessens your tax donkeydom.
Trick or treat. Okay, and that about wraps it up for our first segment, and we're going to kick it over to the forgotten geek, Corey, who's going to hook us up with some sweet tunes for this Halloween.
Don't worry, we didn't forget you.
Okay, well, let's go on to... We'll start this set with Every Day is Halloween by the Postmarks.
Sex and the sex and the cosmic billiards game is a dangerous one. Celestial bodies collide all the time. But when two of those bodies happen to be neutron stars or black holes, they can create what is known as a gamma ray burst. The universe's big fireworks. Lasting from milliseconds to hours, bursts are a fast and violent expulsion of energy, and likely due to the shape of the colliding magnetic fields. These things blast out in concentrated laser beams of sorts, consisting of X-rays, gamma rays, microwaves, and radio waves, all traveling at the speed of light. Experienced at a distance, a far distance, they outshine all other stars in the sky. However, should one occur nearby, say even in our own galaxy, while the beam of death might not kill everything on the surface of the planet, it would obliterate the ozone layer. Totally. I mean, gone. And that means our own sun would completely sterilize the surface of the planet, including the oceans. It would be as dead as any rock out there. You wouldn't know what happened until it was too late, and then you would stick around just long enough to watch everything die of radiation poisoning.
Okay, you are listening. ICRA, radio for open ears.
90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson. You're listening to the Fangularity, Forgotten Geek, Halloween Extravaganza.
The best day of the year extravaganza.
Best day of the year. Giving out candy to the children.
And we're adults.
And adults. Everybody that came to the Makers down here at 65 West Bridge Street got candy. Everyone was offered, and that's the way it should be. No being stingy out there, okay? All right, yeah, it's all about putting the smiles on those kids' faces. And you want to put some smiles on our faces? You can donate. You can become a sustaining member here at WGXC. It is super easy. All you have to do is give us a call at area code 518-697-7400. You can reach us online at wgxc.org/donate. And, of course, you can always mail it in directly to us at WGXC, care of Wave Farm, P.O. Box 13, Acre, New York, 12405.
I had a few people I wanted to thank for donating to the drive. I want to thank Fawn Potash, Frank Farrell, Diana Benoit.
Benoit?
I think Chris Benoit, the wrestler. our own Corey McCaslin here, thank you. Carl Kopecki, Jessica Rosenkrantz, and Michelle Williams. Thank you for your support.
Yes, we all love giving our 2 cents, but if you donate for WGXE, $5 a month, 17 cents a day, it is so good to help out our local community, our radio station.
Do it.
That's just giving up, what, a latte a week? That's nothing.
Do it.
And if you want to send us any questions, you can navigate a web browser to Thingularity.tech.
Do it.
And complete the easy, easy captcha there. That's thingularity.tech. TECH. Come ask us some questions, please.
You can also reach us directly at CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com.
Do it.
Send us your questions, folks. We will be happy to answer them, and the spookier the better, but we have plenty of material to keep going on our own. And we've already asked for your help, so going to be moving on to a little bit more of a scary matter, especially for folks here in New York and in New England. It's called Eastern Equine Encephalitis. You'll hear it often referred to as Triple E.
Triple E.
Or sleeping sickness.
Sleeping sickness? Why would they call it that?
I'm guessing because it makes you go to sleep.
Oh, I thought it was a city in Libya. I don't know.
I might have that because I get sleepy a lot.
No. I'm pretty sure it means you sleep and then you don't wake up.
Oh, that's messed up.
But you're still alive for a while anyways, right?
How does it work? How do I get this Triple E?
Oh, that's from a mosquito bite.
Yeah.
It's just like getting West Nile. This was West Nile before West Great. Nile was cool. Okay?
Oh, yeah. West Nile's just an upstart, man.
Well, it's also found in horses. That's why it's called equine encephalitis.
That's how it transfers, right? If there's a horse near you that has it.
Yes. It's going to be in the horse, and then the mosquito bites the horse, then the mosquito bites you, and then you get an encephalitid brain, which means it just, what, swells until you're dead, right?
Yeah. But it takes 9 days, so you have some quality time for about a week or so.
Oh.
Quality time sleeping, right?
Quality sleep
I mean,
time.
That's my best quality time is sleeping.
Been found pretty close by.
It's in Connecticut.
Like Connecticut, yeah.
And that's pretty easy. That's a pretty easy migration for a mosquito or a colony of mosquitoes.
It was.
Hey, look who just walked in. It's Sam Owen.
Hello.
Yeah, I remember hearing about Eastern equine encephalitis since I was a child, and that was one of the major things.
This is my first time hearing about it.
Me too.
Y'all didn't listen to like CBS 6 News when you were like young. Well, some of y'all weren't even from around here.
From the West. We had killer bees.
Okay.
Yeah, we had killer bees. There.
Anyway, when I was a kid and I was around here, I would hear them, like, terrified of this. Like, they would spray swamps to kill the mosquitoes because of this stuff. That's how bad it was. And apparently, we kind of scurried it away from New York for a bit, and now it's edging its way closer.
It's edging.
This is a pretty cool type of virus because it,
It's cool!
I just looked it up, and, apparently it's... Actually, not. It's not DNA. It's made of RNA, and it's similar to the ribonucleic acid that makes proteins in your own cells.
It's just half.
So it just hijacks your cellular machinery and then assembles itself on the surface of your cell.
That makes it classified as a non-living life form, which means there is no way to kill it.
Really? It's like it's
I'm sure if you
like
heat it up enough,
cow, that same sort of.
Well, if you blast it with peroxide and other reactive oxygen species, I'm sure it would blow apart. But
mad cow requires
that's a
proteins.
Super destructive process.
Yeah. Okay. And this
and
has
prions,
its own proteins.
Yes, and those are just proteins that unfold each other. This is happening.
This one's living.
It's viral. It's a virus, but it doesn't have any cell material whatsoever. It's just a bit of code that jacks a cell's functioning.
Isn't that all viruses?
Correct. That's why they're not I've heard them classified as living. But
it's not.
It's never been really backed up. It's like right on that edge of it sort of affects life,
you know,
but it's not life.
There's some studies out there that have shown that viruses have quorum sensing, like bacteria have quorum sensing.
Yeah, but they cannot reproduce on their own. They require our living cells to hijack and reproduce, and therefore is not living.
Yeah, but how do you classify a parasite like toxoplasmosis or?
I don't know,
it's
but I
parasite.
Love my
That's
cat.
A living being. That's not just raw code.
Yeah, but
around.
It still can't reproduce without a host. Does that make it non-living?
No, the lack of DNA makes it non-living. And the lack of
cells. All life, have DNA. Bare minimum, requires some sort of molecularly encoded data. So RNA or DNA.
Data.
Plus a functioning cellular body. All forms of life have these two things, which is why we're separating out viruses as not being living, because they don't have any sort of membrane, they have no mitochondria, they don't have any power production on their own. They're just floating bits of code.
Quasi-life code that can kill.
You need the software
organisms.
Of the RNA, and then you need the hardware of a cell body, which is why when we start manufacturing our own raw, like, pathogens or other bacteria from the ground up, we're only encoding the DNA using a CRISPR device, and then we're taking that DNA and we're shoving it into functioning.
Whoa. You're throwing a lot of jargon at here. And I know what you're talking about, but
yeah, you need to tone it down about it.
Once you forcefully insert that code into a functioning biological framework, it becomes active. And then you've made a new life form.
This sounds like stuff we should play with. It sounds like fun.
High schoolers make this shit stuff every day.
Yeah. High schoolers have CRISPR devices. They should give it to, like, five-year-olds.
All right, but why do you...
Five-year-olds are really creative. Let's give CRISPR devices to 5- and 6-year-olds. I bet they could create, like Cthulhu or something like that.
Well, at this point, you wouldn't necessarily... Okay, if you really wanted to play that game, you don't have to make a CRISPR device, per se, but you could make a CRISPR simulator and start setting it up in classrooms.
A computer?
Mm-hmm. CRISPR,
It's code. You could transfer that code via any device, like the internet, to an actual CRISPR device.
ACTNG, all you need.
So CRISPR, like my potato chips are CRISPR?
That's
No.
CRISPR
obviously
is in
not.
CRISPR-Cas9, which is the
Oh, that's
DNA.
The protein. Cas9 is the protein. CRISPR is the clustered, regularly interspaced, short palindromic repeats of DNA.
I know you're the one talking nucleotide about sequences. Jargon being thrown at us.
The molecular scissors that are used to chop scissors. Up DNA and copy and literally paste bits and pieces of it.
It's great. Yeah, the five-year-old should be playing with
For my
that.
Witch friends, this
like
is
Like, five-year-olds
magic.
With too much candy from Halloween should be playing with that.
Yeah, and your witch friends awesome. Shouldn't probably study this black magics.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, so we start making, I don't know, Plague 2.0. Great.
Or, like, something. No, see, that's, like, the worst-case scenario. The 99.9% scenario is really cool stuff.
Like, what if we were to genetically engineer mosquitoes to be absolutely resistant to Eastern equine encephalitis and West Nile virus?
I was thinking more like arms growing out of my ears. Can we do that?
Oh, well, I'm just trying to be useful. That sounds more fun, though.
That's what I'm saying. A five-year-old would do that.
Okay, well,
play with fetuses and Christmas.
You can't do that because you are already a composed genetic being.
No,
you would have to do that to your children and then grow them into the arm.
Just embryos and other things, you know.
He can be transvected.
Transvected?
What is that, like grafting?
Yeah. I mean, that's what retroviruses do.
We are just seeing a lot of
you can go on me. I want some ear arms.
You can go on to a manufacturer like Sirion Biotech and get a custom-made adenovirus, and an adenovirus is a retrovirus like HIV or anyways, and you can get a specific piece of code, like, say, the one coding for thyroid peroxidase or some other protein, and it can either
knock...
protein
that makes you orange.
Sure.
Okay.
Something to knock out your ability to process...
insulin.
Not insulin, but I would say the beta carotene from carrots.
And I'm just here.
Nice.
I'm just here wanting to download the human genome.
You can either you can knock it out and completely destroy your ability to process beta carotene, or upregulate it so high that you turn it almost immediately into vitamin A.
But how does that help me with my ear arms?
I just want to glow in the dark, man. I don't want to look for a flashlight ever again.
I wish I
you got those. You seen the glowfish?
Glowfish?
Get a cat.
Inject me. Let's go.
That's some cyberpunk stuff.
Have you seen the glowfish they sell?
I've never seen a glowfish before.
They are genetically engineering bioluminescent trees.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, they want to use them for lighting instead of natural lighting.
But yeah, basically you use a retrovirus, which its primary function is to open up your DNA like a zipper, insert with enzymes, and insert its own code. And then you are making...
a GIMP.
Not a GIMP, but you're making it. It hijacks your cellular machinery by putting it into your own genome. And if that gets into your germ cells, like your eggs or your sperm, now it's part of your kid's genome, too.
Oh. I didn't agree to this.
And that is why about 9% of the human genome
actually codes for you. What makes you, you?
Yeah.
And is virally derived.
No, that's a lot of it. How they say
9%.
That 80% is like junk DNA?
No, 9% of you is virus. It's it's all from virus, at least.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure the studies...
I think it's more.
There's more bacteria cells in your body than you cells in your body.
That is different. We're talking about the fundamental difference between the cells that make you you with the DNA that's got your code. You're talking about bacteria that is mostly in your gut and other parts of your body that has its own genetic code. They're their own beings, but they are symbiotic and are required for our own existence.
Well, then what about the mitochondria in our cells? That's not our DNA. That's mitochondria DNA.
Okay. What about it?
Yeah, you brought it up. Tell us about it. Is it a bacterial inclusion?
When I was in high school, in the biology textbooks, it was talking about how the mitochondria were originally just other cells outside the body. Mm. And a few billion years ago, it all joined together. So now the mitochondria produces energy, but it's its own DNA.
Subsystem?
Similar. Yeah. What I'm curious is how that mitochondria got encoded into the DNA of the cell, so that way the cell can pass on the coding for that mitochondria to a new one. So that when the cell goes through mitosis, how does the new mitochondria lend its code to the current DNA?
I'm going to be completely
I didn't follow that, and I still don't understand how this helps me.
That's
my
okay, because you're listening to WGXE, who's undergoing a pledge drive.
Pledge
and if
drive.
If you'd like to donate, you can reach us at area code 518-697-7400. You can reach us online at wgxe.org/donate. Or snail mail it to us at WGXE, care of Waveform, P.O. Box 13, Acre, New York, 12405. And as always, it is tax deductible. Okay.
Deduct those $5 a month. That's wonderful.
That is the minimum to become a sustaining member, and we are still looking for the sustaining members. We got stuff to pay for, folks. We got a radio tower.
Radio tower?
The radio tower is the big thing. That's
the big thing.
That's the only thing.
That's the only thing.
Wait. Do any of you guys get paid?
No.
What's money?
All volunteer.
We have a handful of staff members that earn every bit that they get, but the biggest expense is the tower. That make sure that this is a community station because not everybody has internet, especially around here, where it's not kind of a little bit spotty.
It's nice that you have some of those spots up the mountain where you don't have much access to that sort of thing.
Incidentally, if you are listening on the internet, you're still listening to radio.
What?
Wow. Wait,
what? Radio?
I'm blown.
Unless, of course, you're on a completely wired connection.
Cody, would you care to elaborate?
The jumps.
Well, no. If you our transmitter is using Wi-Fi, so there is a radio gap somewhere.
In fact, there's one in this room.
No matter what,
it's called a router and a modem.
We can route everything through a wire.
Yeah, that happens sometimes, but most people, they're probably listening either on their cell phones or which operates on radio frequencies.
It's all radio.
And I want to thank Josh in Seattle for becoming a sustaining member.
What? What? Just now?
Thank you, Josh.
Thank you, Josh in Seattle.
Thank you.
Thank you. Josh, Seattle?
Yeah.
Woo! Was he?
Wow. Is that some listenership?
Is that ACRA signal propagating that far?
Dude, are
we moon bouncing?
These are some amazing radio towers we're buying.
That is some moon bounce right out of ACRA to Seattle. I don't know how it happens. It's magic. That is awesome.
Good retro reflectors.
All right, more horror.
Horror?
That's scary.
Horror.
Oh. Huh? Let's move away from
the Internet of Things.
Oh no.
But I think we're more scared of that than most everyone else because
if we're scared of it, you should be scared of it.
Yeah, the tech nerds are the ones screaming about this. So you non-tech nerds should really be worried.
This is
an area in the coal mine.
Oh, no. You guys got it all wrong. Yeah. These devices, they only do nothing but make our lives better. They don't track us.
They make everything more convenient.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's not like Facebook is spying on us or anything.
Jump in, Sam Owen.
I think you all should purchase them because I need a beachhead into your network.
what do you expect me to do? Actually log into Amazon and purchase something?
Dude, I should be able to connect to Amazon through my Wi-Fi connected thermometer.
Exactly.
That thermometer knows when it's cold. You need to order more sweaters.
And that would be a Google thermometer now because Google bought Nest and they started moving like a lot of Nest devices to their software. And some of them stopped working.
That's
like
a messed up process.
Guaranteed. At least half of them will be bricked within 6 months of that move.
I mean, you people have already heard us talking about Ring cameras and all sorts of data like that being shared with police departments.
It's not just that, though. It's the fact that it opens you up to absolutely everything and everyone, not just law enforcement, but like Chinese hackers. Sam Owen.
Me, when I'm bored.
Sam, when he's bored and he wants to look at your Ring camera. If Sam Owen wants to hack you, he can definitely do it if you have an IoT device.
Yeah. He's earning bitcoins off of your thermometer right now.
Yeah, just like in real security, you want to minimize how many points of entrance you have. So if you have like 5 doors, that's a lot more dangerous than just 1 door when you have your internet connected things. That's like having 5 doors.
But what if you have a broken window that you just can't put wood over?
Get some wood.
You have a broken window that you just can't put wood
then over? You find yourself like some couples where they wake up in the middle of the night and they have strangers talking to their children through the intercom system.
Oh, the baby monitors, right?
Yeah, sorry, baby monitor.
But it doesn't need to just be voyeurs like that. It can be people who are sniffing your passwords or watching where you communicate
So how can this
IoT thing be secured? This big security flaw known
security?
As
security. What are you talking IoT? About? It's,
the first part is security. Prevention. Just don't do it.
People are literally using things like Alexa,
like convenience,
to fish for people's passwords. They
what's
hack
fishing?
Into Alexa,
like with a rod, like
listening
and a
to
pole?
The file.
No, phishing. PH.
PH.
Please elaborate.
Yeah. So basically how lots of attacks go is also called like social engineering, where you'll have an email from a suspicious address and it'll say, oh, your bank account has been hacked. Click this link to get everything fixed. And it'll be a really bad link. Go somewhere else and they will get you to type in your username, password, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And now they have access to your account because it wasn't the bank. It was someone else's website, and now they have all your login information.
It's called the man-in-the-middle attack. They reroute your data. You think you're on eBay's website, but you are not.
So definitely prevention is a good bit to help you with your internet security. Do not click suspicious links. Verify everything.
Gosh, I just got one that really looked like it was from PayPal, but there was nothing wrong with my PayPal account. It wanted me to follow a link, type in my information. Yeah, no, I went to PayPal's website. Everything was fine.
Yeah.
Question everything.
Or what I usually do on those, you right-click that link and see what the actual address is. It's not on PayPal.
Yeah, when you characterize it as a suspicious address, if it wasn't always a suspicious address, then the phishing attacks would never work. They look like they're legit. So if the message is anything, that you get anything out of this, it's be suspicious of everything with computers. Because they're not easy to secure. And every time you add an Internet of Things device onto your network, like Alexa or anything.
A refrigerator,
it's like
a toaster,
having another
oven,
computer
everything
to secure.
Nowadays connects to the internet because people need to know when they're out of milk and they can't bother to open the door themselves. They need to know when their fridge can do it for them.
Oh, wait. I have a camera that lets me look in my fridge. That doesn't require the internet. It's just a big camera on the fridge. But then it sees it's out, recognizes it's missing milk, and then it orders it.
Well,
for
I guess
me.
That's fine, sort of.
That's where it gets weird.
Hey, it's a step above having slaves.
If you really need your internet-connected refrigerator, another thing you can do is, if it requires Wi-Fi, just connect it to a whole different network. Separate it.
That's
that
smart.
Requires technical skills.
Well, it could
not
be
many of which people are willing to acquire.
There's a thing called Google. That
particular procedure is as simple as taking your cable modem and connecting two different routers directly to it. If you connect and you carefully connect to one router and then run everything through the other, they will be isolated from each other.
That doesn't work.
Joe, you lost 90% of the people by saying just connect.
Okay, let me get everyone back by saying
that's already too much.
If you are not already
losing us money, donation money is gone.
If you are not already seriously scared by what we're talking about, get on a web browser and navigate to www.shodan.io. That is www.shodan.io. Once you're there, click on the explore button. This website is an aggregate search engine that looks for every internet-connected device.
Oh, that's cool.
It lets you search through people's personal web cameras that are on their networks and fully
baby
exposed.
Monitors and
baby monitors.
Web servers.
Ring cameras.
Open routers. You know, anything.
All computers, any pies that have Raspberry Pis that have been activated and put right online.
Oh, yummy. People can hack my food.
Yes, anybody. And I mean, you need zero hacking skills. Go on this website, and it basically looks for devices that have default passwords, because nobody changes the password when they connect these devices, and thus we have
some
a search engine of your
you
private moments.
Passwords. That's the best part.
Oh, that's
scary.
Some of them don't accept firmware updates or allow any credential changes.
Yeah, Sam, but you know what? They're convenient, and that's good enough for
me. Well, that's what it is. They're convenient, so who cares?
Well, why wouldn't you want a technician to be able to remotely log into your device without any sort of security? It's so much easier for them and you.
I mean, doesn't Windows come with a help account for the same reason?
Oh, God. Installed an administrative access account.
It's not the only one it comes with either. It's like four of them.
I know.
What?
Like trusted installer? Is that one?
No.
These are
system accounts
actual
that are just
administrators. Like you got the help
accounts.
Account, you got the administrator account.
Oh, no. Why?
Yeah, you have to log into a Windows machine and start looking at their weird user space. Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, don't use
they
Windows.
Don't have real user space. There's no user Everything kernel is. Separate.
Yeah. I'm using the term very loosely.
Yes, there is, Sam. It's called the C drive.
Oh, the C drive.
That's amazing.
You mean that 50% of a hard drive that Windows lets you use after it's formatted the rest of it for all of its weird backup stuff and restoration and et cetera, et cetera?
Install Linux.
Do they still have the restoration viruses that started an ME?
Restoration viruses?
Yeah.
Please elaborate.
Like Spectre? Back with Windows ME, it was the first Windows to have like this auto restore feature.
Yeah.
And so like virus writers were instantly like, oh look, we can just put our viruses here and they'll automatically be restored.
Restored them. Yeah.
So like, did they ever fix that? I don't know, but
somebody should check right now at Microsoft because probably not.
I know it's been a long time since I've used Windows, so I really don't.
We
know.
Need vulnerability testers to let people know when these vulnerabilities are a thing.
So we have them. Unfortunately, the companies that make these devices don't seem to employ them. Mm.
Actually, for example, usually when they report them, they try to sue them to keep the vulnerabilities quiet. Mm.
Thus, decreasing your security. It is not in their best interest or their bottom line.
Thanks, capitalism.
Like smart TVs. You know what? Believe it or not, those are Internet of Things. They're little computers.
Your TV's probably watching everything you're doing. And I don't mean just watching what's on its own screen. These things come with cameras now, and they watch what part of the screen your eyes are looking at.
Wait, they come with cameras?
Some of them have microphones in the remotes, too, so you can talk to them.
Oh, yeah.
With, like, Google Assistant built in.
Yeah. And they're always listening.
There is a funny joke where
on that?
Yeah, there's a funny joke where tech enthusiasts, they will be like, oh, I love everything that's connected to the internet. It's so amazing. And actual people in internet technology, it's like, the only connected thing I have is a printer from 1990, and I have a gun next to it. If it makes funny noise, I don't like.
That's exactly right.
Just going to throw it out the window or shoot.
I'm big on technology. I have a lot of computers at my house, but my house is secured with a deadbolt and a shotgun. No wires, no nothing.
Well, access is the first bit of protection, because if someone gets your laptop, it doesn't care how encrypted it is, you're getting that.
Give me 3 years, I will have armed robots patrolling my property. I swear it.
Oh, will they be connected to the internet?
Mine, His not internet. The real internet, yeah.
I'll be happy if you make them look like Daleks. That's going to be that'll be my joy.
In that case, make sure they go upstairs.
Cool. So basically, I just need to hover around in a garbage can.
Oh, my gosh.
No problem.
A plunger.
Should we read the article about
IoT?
Ad trackers on your streaming TVs?
No, we're going to save that until after this break, because we're going to cut on over to the Forgotten Geek, who's ready with some more sweet tunes for everybody out there.
Okay. What you got?
Oh. Corey's like,
okay, so.
Hey, wake up over there.
Let's see. So, I always bring a little of my own scary stories, creepypasta, So, here we go with I Desire Knowledge.
It was a normal Monday morning when it happened. I was getting ready for another day at school, just continuing the vicious cycle that was my life. I was eating breakfast when I heard a thump from the basement. I figured it was just my cat jumping off the windowsill, so I paid it no mind. Then came another thump, and another. I realized that something was coming up the stairs, and it sure as hell wasn't my cat. It finally reached the top of the stairs and peered its head. I'm not even sure if you could call it that, around the corner and looked up at me. I don't even know how to describe it. If I tried, I'd probably just end up throwing myself on a knife, trying to get it out of my head. After what seemed like an eternity, I sprinted towards the cutlery drawer, grabbed the knife, and went into my parents' room. I woke them up as fast as I can. I tried to explain what horror had occurred in the past few seconds. When they understood that something was out there, my dad took the knife from me and slowly opened the door. It was open no more than an inch when a tentacle, or perhaps an arm, grabbed my father and pulled him into the hallway, dragging him back towards the basement door before my mother and I heard it coming back. It pounded the door down, and in an instant, it had decapitated my mother, leaving me the last one standing. Instead of giving me the mercy of death, it grabbed me by the leg and dragged me through my father's eviscerated remains and towards the basement door. I was thrown down the stairs, leaving me staring up at it as this abomination descended towards me.
I've had my fill of blood, human. Yet I desire one thing more.
It could speak. My God, it could speak. What do you want? I asked weakly. It crawled down a few more steps, grasping my head in its claws.
I desire knowledge.
It stared into my eyes, nay, into my very soul, then leaned into my ear and whispered,
I just can't figure out why kids love the taste of Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Back to back! Ha ha ha! Belly to belly! Yes, my friends! Back to back! Ha ha ha! Belly to belly!
It was a zombie jamboree, took place in the New York cemetery. It was a zombie jamboree, took place in the New York cemetery. Zombies from all parts of the island, some of them were great Calypsonians. Together in Bacchanal, and they were singing back to back, ooh, belly to belly. Well, I don't give a damn, cause I'm stone dead already. Back to back, belly to belly, it's a zombie jamboree. One female zombie, she wouldn't behave. See how she's dancing out of the grave. In one hand, she's holding a quart of rum. The other hand was knocking a conga drum. You know, the lead singer starts to make his rhyme. While the other zombies rocking in time, one bystander, he had this to say. It was a time to see the zombies break away. And they were singing back to back, belly to belly. Well, I don't give a damn, cause I'm stone dead already. Back to back, belly to belly, a zombie jamboree. And they were singing back to back, belly to belly. Well, I don't give a damn, cause I'm stone dead already. Back to back, belly to belly, a zombie jamboree.